This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. We'll take you to 6 o'clock tonight. And we got one right off the bat on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Former Major League Baseball player, double digits, two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion. And on Baseball Jeopardy, they might have people stumped on this one. He was the American League stolen base leader in 2000, Johnny Damon. Johnny, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me. Great to be on the show, and I hope everything's going fantastic with you all. I know you've had the Super Bowl, you have Mardi Gras going on, an incredible time for the people of Louisiana.
Johnny, I'll ask you right off the bat, because so many people, when they heard the previews you were coming on today, they say, man, what Johnny's doing today? And I knew you were involved with a game, so I'll let you kind of explain what's happening on your end and what you're doing today.
Yeah, so A-Game is my company. I'm the, created the drink back in the day. 2012 was a very hot summer, and a couple football players pass. We wanted to come out with a clean hydration drink with no artificial flavors, no artificial coloring. We also have no forever chemicals. We zero dyes, and with the Make America Healthy Again project that's going on, we have Gary Brecken locked in with our team. He knows a thing or two about nutrition, but we also have Tyler Adams, who's going to bring the World Cup with the U.S. team over here next year. We know Caleb Downs won the national championship this year, but we have a clean hydration drink, and it's called A-Game, and you have to bring your A-Game every single moment of every single day, not just being an athlete, but being a teacher, being a parent, being a sports talk host. And so I try to bring my A-Game all the time, and my team is bringing their A-Game, so we're very excited about what's going on. I know we are in Greer's right now. We're also in Ross's. So a lot of good things happening for us in the state of Louisiana, and working with Governor Landry. He's been incredible to our growth, and can't thank the state of Louisiana for trying out our product. And let's bring it home. And I'm happy the LSU Tigers baseball team is strong again, because, man, they are so good. They have so much depth, and we know they bring their A game every single year. So I've been a big fan of theirs since I was a kid.
Johnny, I saw a couple of vans with the A game on it. I was just telling Di Newman this during the parade route they were passing. So I know it's local here, and I know you guys were in full force for the Super Bowl week. And you talk about LSU and what they've been able to do there. I'm going to ask a question. I asked Kurt Schilling a few weeks back when we had Kurt on, and he flipped it back to me about what was the motivation in life for you to be a baseball player. And I flipped it. Man, to me, it was fear. I didn't want to fail at what I did in life. I didn't. And so fear was a failure was a big part of motivation for me. And Kurt laughed. He's like, Mike, I would have told you the exact same thing for me. I didn't want to fail as a baseball player. So what was the big kind of push for you, motivation for you as a baseball player?
Oh, my motivation was to always be my best, and my motivation was to be a champion. I understand baseball is a failure sport, so I understood that my worst swing can turn into a bases clearing blooper down the third baseline, and my best swing that I could ever take in my life could be a line drive to the second baseman for an out. So I understand the ups and downs of the game, and I'm hoping we get the next generation of kids involved with baseball, because a lot of kids don't like to fail. No one likes to fail, but it teaches you how to pick yourself up and get going again and learn how to deal with, some bad things. Bad things are always going to happen in life, but you got to be able to pick yourself up and do the very best you can to be at the best place you can possibly be.
Johnny, it's a two-part question. One, you won that Red Sox team, and, you know, that curse was there. And y'all had nothing to do with it, but everybody brought it up. Hadn't won a World Series since 1918. What happened with Ruth? Man, y'all not the, you know, y'all weren't part of the group that sold Ruth to the Yankees. But what was that feeling like to finally get that kind of off you guys' backs in Boston? The second part is, to leave Boston when you couldn't come to terms with the team is one thing. But you leaving to sign with the Yankees, I know one thing. Man, you were loved in Boston. But as soon as you signed up there and you were a Yankee, that wasn't too good in a lot of people's minds. So that thought of winning that World Series with Boston and finally 86 years and finally the curse was over.
Yeah, winning that World Series in Boston was so incredible. I mean, we brought a nation together, Red Sox Nation. We reversed the curse. We made so many people so happy. And the stories that you hear just over time and how family members could not possibly believe that we would ever have won a championship. So, I mean, all the stories are heart-wrenching. I'm glad that I was a part of it. I'm glad that I have a family of teammates that are forever going to enjoy 2004 forever. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And then, you know, a year later, I end up signing with the Yankees. Yeah, I wanted to stay with the Red Sox. I knew I was a fan favorite. And after we won the World Series, I was told, buy a house. You're going to be here for a long time. Contract's going to get to you soon. So I buy a house, and then no contract. I play another season. I'm a free agent. Red Sox aren't even talking to me. I start talking to some other teams. Talk to the Yankees. Agreed to a number. I took it back to the Red Sox and was like, I know you can't come this side, but can you at least show me that you may want to keep me? And, you know, they thought I was bluffing. You know, I love the Red Sox. I love the ownership for giving me that four-year opportunity. But when there's no contract and when you have Jacoby Ellsbury time in the big leagues happening real soon, I have to make a move. And, you know, unfortunately, it was not a happy one for Red Sox fans, but I mean, I think now they know, like, I never wanted to leave Boston. But if I were to, putting the pinstripes on, being part of that tradition, and I'm just glad it worked out for both sides. So I can honestly say I've been loved and hated everywhere. So, you know, whether it's my politics, whether it's the Yankee, Red Sox, whatever it is, I've been loved and hated for so many things in my life, and I'm okay with it. Baseball got me ready for it, you know? You got to pick yourself up. There's a lot of ups and downs in life. I'm good, so I'm a happy camper.
That's pretty good. Johnny, getting back to your high school days, not only were you a really great baseball player, but you ran the sprints. And I was told you played football for a little while, and you got hit by a guy that went on to play in the National Football League that was pretty good. So it goes to show, I think today we such a specialty world where you just play baseball, just play basketball, just play football. But back then it was a different story. Track season, you ran track, you played basketball in basketball season, baseball in baseball season, you played football in football season. But you were a track sprinter, and on the football field, you got hit by Warren Sapp.
Yes, that is correct. And, yeah, he rung my bell for sure, but we won the battle. 6-3, that second field goal. So, but, yeah, Warren had a tremendous career, and I'm happy for him. Central Florida boys stick together. But if you ever have Warren Sapp on, I still have to figure out what a blue darter is. I believe it's a bird, but we don't get to see too many of them around here. But Warren had a great career. But I think the kids, it's great. That was the way we stayed out of trouble, was to play football.
Yeah.
Then you carry it on to either basketball or soccer, and then baseball and track ran together. But, I mean, our parents did not want us at home until the lights came up. And they didn't want you to bring your friends at home to eat up all your food. So our parents were like, go out, have fun. It was a safer world at the time as well. But, yeah, we were outside all day long until the sun went down. And I think we were a lot better and happier as kids. And that's my thing. I've got to get the kids outside running around, because – can't get lazy on an iPad. It's frustrating.
I agree.
Johnny, I want to preview a little bit of the 2025 MLB season with you. But first, you mentioned LSU baseball. A former LSU Tigers lighting up the MLB right now, and that's Paul Skeens. I mean, he made his debut in May last year, and he just set the world on fire. He was fantastic in his rookie campaign with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Ends up winning the Rookie of the Year. It's a first-time All-Star, first-team All-MLB. I want to get your thoughts, and just this is just a fun question. What would be your plate approach going against someone like Paul Skeens that is so elite on the mound?
Man, what a great start to his career, and many, many more great things coming from him. My approach to Paul Skeens, I mean, I wish I were a lot younger, but it would try to get a strike. I mean, he throws so many pitches at different angles, and he shows a lot of confidence on that mound. So my biggest thing is to have some confidence at the plate if somehow you can, and be ready for that strike, because it's tough hitting balls, especially off a guy who pitches as great as he does. And he's doing very good, man. I mean, LSU, Paul Skeens, Olivia Wilde. I mean, wow, what a great power couple. And congratulations to both of them, and continued success
and
LSU.
Dylan Cruz, and what he's going to do in
the 1-2 punch. Ooh, that LSU had,
man,
was pretty special.
That was awesome.
Well, Dylan Cruz is my boy. Like, his dad worked at the Magic Arena back in the day, so I bumped into his dad a couple of days ago. So they're Florida boys. They're Orlando folks. So, yeah, Dylan Cruz is a badass, and I'm happy with his progress right now, and hopefully he has a tremendous and long career.
And then, Johnny, I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm a huge Astros fan. I don't make it any secret on here. Another former LSU Tiger, funny enough, Alex Bregman, was part of the golden age run for the Houston Astros, but now he's in Boston. He signed that major contract with them in this offseason. You know, we kind of saw the writing was on the wall when he turned down, I think it was like the 6-year $156 million from Houston. He ends up going with the Red Sox. I wanted to get your thoughts on that move, because I think it was one of the biggest splashes of this offseason.
Oh, it's definitely a huge splash, and unfortunately the numbers didn't work out with Houston. I would have thought, you know, saving money on taxes and playing in better weather year-round, but of course I love Boston, and of course I know what he's going to bring to the Red Sox is a winning attitude. And before they signed Bregman, I thought maybe they'll win like 77 games, but after, I think they're up to 87 games, because they're going to – he's going to make the players around him a lot better, and that's just the way he plays. It's always difficult to see, you know, a franchise guy leave their team. Unfortunately, I get it. It's happened to me a number of times. It's I never wanted to leave any of my teams, whether it were the Royals, Red Sox, or Yankees. I always wanted to come back, but teams start talking to their scouts and try to figure out what's best for the team for the future, and I totally get it. But as you can see, it hasn't been the best for the Yankees yet, since they haven't won a World Series since, you know, they let me go.
Johnny, thinking about it, the way it is today, and none of the major league teams want to do revenue sharing. I know if I'm the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox, I don't want to do no revenue sharing with the other clubs. But what's happening out in L.A. with the Dodgers? there's no price that's sort of too high for them. I'm going to make it. What's your thoughts on how they have used free agency? And they do have the farm system, but they've really used free agency a lot to build that team. And they're a juggernaut team. They've only got one World Series to show for it over the last few years. But, man, are they stockpiling players?
Yeah, they sure are. And you know, unless there's rules against it, I mean, they're abiding by every baseball rule. The owner wants the best players, and whenever someone comes out on the market, he's going to give a nice run to them. And I know Dave Roberts got to be very happy with what he has to deal with on a year-to-year basis. He's going to continue to have the best players, and they're going to continue to win and compete for not just a playoff spot. I think they have their playoff spot locked down already. But winning World Series, I mean, it's you've got to play the games. It's always tough in the playoffs, but their owner has given them plenty of great talent to repeat as champions.
And, Johnny, before we let you run, I want to get your thoughts. Every single season, that feels like there's one team that kind of surprises and comes out of nowhere to make the postseason. I think last year was kind of like Detroit, right? And for me, and I want to get your thoughts specifically on this team, the Cincinnati Reds really kind of made an under-the-radar signing with bringing in someone that you're very familiar with in Terry Francona, Tito. You know, he won the World Series with Boston with you in 2004. Now he goes to the Cincinnati Reds, who have a very young, talented core. Just want to get your thoughts on that fit and if the Reds can be one of those surprise teams in 2025.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what a great pick for a manager. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the players ready to go on a nightly basis, and just that leadership. And he also has Brad Mills with him. I mean, his bench coach forever. I think they're going to be a big surprise. And I really don't think the NL Central is, someone's got to go take it. It's not up for anybody right now. There's a few teams that are lacking some star power right now, but, you know, stars are made overnight sometimes, so we'll see what happens.
Johnny, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, listen, best of luck with A-Game, and I see it all over now, so I know it's out there, and I know you have a lot of success with the drink.
Well, please go out there and try it, and let your listeners know what you think about it. That'd be a great thing for me and a great thing for my A-Game team. So I appreciate you guys and your time.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks so much, Johnny. Really appreciate it. Two-time Major League Baseball champion. Did it with the Red Sox and Yankees.
Pretty interesting career,
That little swerve, Johnny Damon. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. Remember tomorrow, join the crew of WWL for wall-to-wall coverage of the greatest free show on earth. The parades in New Orleans are rolling an hour early. So are we. We'll broadcast live from New Orleans and Company on St. Charles Avenue in the heart of the party. The fun starts at 7 a.m., not 8, but at 7, with Tommy Tucker and Linda Cassidy. Then they followed at 9:30 by Newell Norman, Ashley O, and Scoot's going to be on the roving mic. Catch real-time coverage of Zulu and Rex and all the sights, sounds, and excitement of Mardi Gras, 7 a.m. till 1, and maybe a little bit beyond that. Brought to you by our amazing sponsors, Bromark, Home Bank, Logo Express, Lamarck Ford, and our presenting sponsor, LCMC Health. Keeping you well this Mardi Gras season right here on the Big 870. When we get back, we'll have on with us Adam West, co-host of Saints Block Party Podcast, talking NFL Combine, who looked good out in Indy, right after this break here on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, back from Indianapolis, co-host of the Saints Block Party Podcast, Adam West. Adam, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mike, it's an honor, it's a pleasure you inviting me on. Thank you so much. can still get my legs underneath me coming back from Indy. A very busy week being at the combine. But let's talk combine. Let's talk Saints.
All right, Adam. I talked to a couple friends of mine that did the personal interviews with the teams. And all three of them came away with one guy. They said, boy, was he impressive in the one-on-ones with the teams. And that was Tyler Booker, the offensive guard from Alabama. How he came across, how he loved the game. Two of the three did not scout the SEC, so that deal was, man, he's a lot bigger than I thought he was, and he can move for a big guy. He also did a little bit of work for him, a little extra work at the center position. You didn't get an opportunity to get those interviews, but who impressed you in the interview sessions that the players had with the media? Because as much as what you did out on that, jumping and lifting and everything else, which don't tell you a damn thing about if you can play ball or not, those interview sessions, teams pay a lot of attention to. But who caught your eye as somebody, man, that guy really impressed me, or a couple guys like that?
Right off the bat, Georgia's Jalen Walker, just a captivating personality. His tape aside, just an engaging young man. And it's funny because if you watch him play his tape, his personality, you can tell, like, he puts the switch on when he goes on Saturday when playing for Georgia. Just called himself a test piece on the football field, because I asked him what his favorite position is, because people don't know if he's going to play edge. People don't know if he's going to play off the ball linebacker. He said he's a chess piece. He's a football player. He likes that the opposing offense doesn't know where he's going to be. I lit up when talking to him at the podiums. Another player that I got really engaged with, JTT, the edge rusher from Ohio State. We know the Saints have really kind of tied to that pipeline edge rusher with Jeff Ireland at the helm with college scouting, with all the Ohio State pipeline. The JTT, the Ohio State edge rusher, was also very, very engaging. He's not a player that I would see them maybe, getting in the first round, but he's someone at pick 40 or in the second round, if he were there, if they didn't go edge rusher in the first round. Also someone very engaging, very captivating, that really was just an engaging individual young man that really, personality-wise, I could see how, going way back to 2014, I could see how Sean Payton fell in love with the Brandon Cooks at the combine. Sean Payton fell in love with them then, and they didn't meet with Brandon Cooks the rest of the entire draft process, and they traded up to drafted him. Being there, talking to these young prospects at a very short period of time, you see how these coaches fall in love with players with their interactions with them, meeting with them one-on-one.
Yeah, people say, oh, it's best man on the board. No, a lot of times the head coach gets involved. Man, I don't care what y'all got on that board. This is who I want. And they got some head coaches in this league. Adam, man, when they kind of hit the gavel, everybody listens, and Sean was one of those guys. You talked about Jalen Walker, and he was a favorite of mine. And I told this to Charlie when we did the mock draft. I had him penciled in before I did it, Saints. And then I got him going to Carolina right ahead, because I think in the 3-4 alignment, he would be a really good fit piece as an off-ball 3-4 edge rusher. When I look at the positions, we've talked a little bit about certainly tight end, got a lot of guys there. Defensive linemen, 24 of my top 75 are defensive linemen. But I think the most underrated spot, running back. And it's sort of devalued to a certain extent, and still is. No matter if the Eagles won the Super Bowl or not, I think it's still devalued. And Ashton Jeanty, he'll be a top 10 pick. Somebody in that top 10 is going to pull the trigger on Ashton one way or another. I think it's what's going to happen afterwards, and it is a really deep crop of running backs. Is there a player or two, may not necessarily have to be a second-round pick or a third-round pick, but a guy in the middle of the draft you think could really help out this football team?
I feel like I'm Jeff Ireland talking right now, but the Ohio State, even though the Ohio State running backs, I'm a little more prone to Judkins. He's a little bigger. I also like Henderson as well, but I like Judkins. He's bigger. He's dynamic. One of my players I love the most in this draft, I would say my draft crushes, is the Texas running back, Blue. He to me is AK or Kamara in his prime, but with a jetpack, or very similar to Jamar Gibbs, that the Lions drafted 12 overall, and we've seen what he's been able to do in Detroit. He had a fumbling issue, but he ran sub, you know, he ran a 4.3 at the combine, and I just love him as a player. We'll see if Jesse goes top 10. I think he should. I think he's one of the best players in the draft. I think he should easily go top 10. I've heard that this is such an insanely deep running back class. One of the deepest running back classes we've ever seen. My co-host Ryan Wolf loves RJ Harvey. We are able to talk to him at the Senior Bowl. He's extremely dynamic in his own right. It's kind of like this running back class is pick your, like, it's like ice cream. Mike, like, which flavor do you like? Yeah. Like, whichever one, it's going to be hard to pick the wrong one. And AK is getting older. Miller has not been able to stay healthy. So the Saints, we've talked about this on our show, they should really come out of this draft with two running backs, honestly.
Amen to that. I agree with you. The thing about RJ, it strikes me because he was a high school quarterback, in Florida. And I get sent all kind of tape because a school is recruiting him, but as a wide receiver. They were going to do to him what they did Trey Harris when he came out of high school here in Louisiana. They were going to move him from quarterback to receiver. He didn't want to play receiver. His deal was either play quarterback or play running back. He made the good choice. He played running back, even though he played a little bit of quarterback at Virginia. The guy for me is Woody Marks. From USC. Man,
I'm in Los Angeles, and I've seen a lot of Woody Marks. He's a spark plug.
He is a guy that can run with speed, with power, and he catches the ball so smoothly coming out of the backfield. So for me, if I'm looking at maybe as a late third round selection, Woody Marks would be it. And he has a lot of similarities. I'm not trying to compare him, but similarities to Alvin Kamara and what he can do on the field.
I'm going to give you another draft crush that I think that the Saints could potentially get round five, round six, that he's not getting a lot of publicity. And this, I went to Texas Tech for a couple of years. I was born and raised in Lubbock, Texas. Todd Brooks.
Yep.
I love Todd. I think he's a workhorse. He has a little Le'Veon Bell to his game. In terms of his patience, and he could be that kind of that workhorse back. And he does have, like, he has speed. He's a good player. I don't think he's going to go very high. But if you want a later round back, I'm talking round five, round six, I love Todd Brooks from Texas Tech.
And he's got some versatility. You know, he can sort of kind of play across the board. Hold on a second, Adam. Charlie has a
real
question
quick,
for you.
Yeah, I wanted to hop in before we let you run, Adam. You know, Mike and I always say build through the strengths of the draft, and Mike already mentioned defensive line and running back, but it also feels like a pretty solid tight end class. You know, now I'm not saying we'll see what happens there with Tyler Warren, who Mike had mocked to the Saints at pick 9 initially, but also other guys like Colson Loveland from Michigan. Mike's a real big fan of Mason Taylor from LSU.
This is close between Colson and Tyler Warren. A lot of people didn't believe me when I first said it. It is tight between those two guys.
But, Adam, I wanted to get your thoughts on the tight end class just in general. You know, if the Saints should take one, because it seems like a position that they've kind of avoided for years now.
This tight end class is just like the running back class. I think it might be one of the deepest tight end classes, like, historically all time, and just how talented and deep it is. I just like I would say with the running back class, the Saints should try to find themselves taking two tight ends in this draft class. I can say I've heard that the Saints do really like Tyler Warren. That has come out a lot the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's enough that they take him at 9. I do know they really like Tetaroa, McMillan as well. So that's going to be a very interesting debate come April, come next month, if they're both on the board, because I think they probably both will be. The way I would see is that I don't love Warren as much as a lot of other people do. I feel he's more like a lower first round pick. I love Mason Taylor. I feel like Mason, and this, I'm not an LSU fan. I want to put that out there. So this is not an LSU thing. This is not a Homer thing. But I feel like Mason Taylor could fit Kellen Moore's offense just like Tyler Warren could, and you could probably potentially get him at 40 and go a different position at 9. But there's you have Colson Loveland, you have Gunter Helm from Texas, you have we talked to Bowling Green, I'm blanking on his name,
Harold Fanning,
Aaron Fanning from there are so many different players at the tight end position in this draft that you can get two. And one thing about Kellen Moore's offense, and I kind of studied it when he became head coach and even beforehand, he runs a lot of 12 personnel, run running back, two tight ends. That gives a lot of scheme versatility of, is it going to be a pass? Is it going to be a run? And so he needs two good tight ends to really run what he wants to do. And I've heard that the Saints really want to add tight end to this team. So I do think they're going to really address it in the offseason.
Last question for you, Adam. There's always a player that drops that we think will go a little bit higher. Last year, Charlie and I talked about this. Depending on how the quarterbacks peeled off, it would be Brock Bowers. Sure as hell. Brock falls a little bit out of there.
Don't remind me, Mike. We were one pick away. They were going to draft him. If him and Fuwagwa were both on the board, they were going to
Yeah. So give me a guy, Adam, that you think that might be there at 9 that people aren't maybe saying he'll be there at 9. And would Shedeur Sanders be that guy?
Okay. I'll give you two players for your first part of your question. I'm going to go Will Johnson, and I'm going to go Mason Graham. The Will Johnson thing, I'm just going to go with. It's really going to depend on what he runs at his pro day. He's a bigger corner, and I've heard this on the floor at the combine. Michigan is not going to put a glowing endorsement out for Will Graham, for Will Johnson, just in regards to how he kind of quote unquote quit on the team, whatever. His 40 time is going to be really important in terms of what his draft stock is going to be. I know the Saints really like him as a player. He might fall very similar to how Marshon Lattimore fell.
I agree.
In that draft. So that's one player. Shedeur Sanders. If the Raiders don't get a veteran quarterback, whether that's a Sam Darnold or whoever in free agency, and he gets past 6, I think there's a chance that Shedeur could be there at 9.
Well, that would make things real interesting draft
yes,
night
it would.
When it would come
yes,
to the 9th pick. Adam, hey, thanks so much for joining us. Man, listen, it's the first time you've come on with us, but I can assure you it won't be the last.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you coming on with us. Great stuff.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it, Mike. You have a good one.
All righty. Adam West does a great job covering the Saints for the Saints Block Party Podcast out in Los Angeles. And got a good beat on what's happening at the NFL Combine. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here, our number one of sports talk on the Big 870. I want to thank Johnny Damon, former Major League Baseball guy. Man, he was terrific with us. And also Adam West did a great job. He's co-host of the Saints Block Party Podcast. He was at the NFL Combine. When we come back at 5:20, Blake Ruffino will join us from Are You Serious Network, talking about the Tigers looking for a new D-line coach and also baseball right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.